the supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate, praise belongs to Allah who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day he appointed for a rising. To thee belongs praise, for thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst thou willed, thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to thee belongs praise, for thou created, then proportioned, and ordained, and decreed, and gave death, and bestowed life, and made sick, and healed, and made well, and afflicted, and sat upon the throne, and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure, and provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters in faith and humanity, Salamun Alaikum, may Allah's peace be upon all of you, dear friend. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio, and today is a special day. Today is the demise anniversary of the last Prophet of Allah, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, and of course, martyrdom anniversary of his grandson, Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, second Shia's Imam. So we offer our condolences on this sad day.
رسولي معدن الجود إمام الحرمين نبينا أمشي على قدمي يا عاشق صلوا على سيد الكون سيد الكون صلى الله عليه وآله آه يا نبي.
Today, Tuesday, is the 28th of Safar, 1443, of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 13th of May, 1400, of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 5th of October, 2021, of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Again, we express our condolences on the demise anniversary of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, and martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, peace be upon him.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد.
The last hours of the Prophet is the title of this part. The honored daughter of the Prophet, Lady Fatima, peace be upon her, was sitting beside her father's bed. He was looking at his sacred face and could see that the perspiration of death was flowing down his face and forehead. With a heavy heart, tearful eyes, and chapped throat, she was reciting the following verse, which Abu Talib had recited in praise of the Prophet. The luminous face in whose honor rains are sought from the clouds. The person who is the asylum for the orphans and the guardian of the widows. At this moment, the Prophet opened his eyes and said to his daughter in a low voice, "This is a verse which Abu Talib recited about me. It will, however, be better if instead of the same, you recite this verse of the Holy Quran. Muhammad is but a messenger. The messengers have already passed away before him. Will it be that when he dies or is slain, you will turn back on your heels? He who turns back does not hear to Allah, and Allah will reward the thankful." From chapter Al Imran, verse 144. Dear brothers and sisters all over the world, please accept our condolences on the demise anniversary of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, and martyrdom anniversary of his grandson Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, peace be upon him.
Sheikh Azhar Nasser.
Studying the life of Muhammad ibn Abdullah is actually important for Muslims and non-Muslims alike. You know, why is it significant for non-Muslims? I think that it's important to study the life of this man because even if you don't believe that he's a prophet of God, there's no doubt that he is the founder of one of the major world religions, which has over 1.5 billion adherents around the world. We're speaking about an individual who is arguably the most influential human being in history. Many of you may be familiar with an American journalist by the name of Michael Hart. He published a book called The 100, a ranking of the most influential persons in history. And he actually places the Prophet at the top of the list. And he offers the following explanation for his decision to rank the Prophet as the most influential person in human history. So Michael Hart, he says, "My choice of Muhammad to lead the list of the world's most influential persons may surprise some readers and may be questioned by others." You know, so Michael Hart is obviously a non-Muslim. Many felt that he should have placed Jesus Christ at the top of the list. But he says, he argues here, that Muhammad was the only man in history who was supremely successful both on the religious and secular levels. And he continues saying, "Of humble origins, Muhammad founded and promulgated one of the world's great religions and became an immensely effective political leader." So he was influential in the past. And today, he says, today, centuries after his death, his influence is still powerful and pervasive.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, "Please save me, except Al-Habib." Ummati, Ummati, yakuluha lana yawma al-qiyamati. Ummati, Ummati, yakuluha shafa'atan.
The Prophet speaks to his daughter. The Prophet's love for his only child was one of the most sublime manifestations of human sentiments. He used to tell his companions, "Fatima is a part of my body. Her pleasure is my pleasure, and her anger is my anger." Throughout the period of Prophet's illness, Fatima remained by the side of his bed. Suddenly, the Prophet made a sign to her, asking her to speak to him. The Prophet's daughter bent a little, brought her head near him, and conversed with him in low tones. When the Prophet ceased talking, Lady Fatima wept bitterly. However, soon after this, the Prophet made a sign to her again and spoke to her in low tones. This time she raised her head in a happy mood and with smiling lips. After the passing away of the Prophet, Fatima informed them of the factual position on account of the insistence of Aisha and said, "In the first instance, my father informed me about his death and stated that he was not likely to recover from his illness. Hence, I began weeping. However, when he talked to me for the second time, he told me that I would be the first person from amongst his Ahlul Bayt who would join him. This made me happy." On this sad occasions, for all Muslims all around the world, on behalf of the crews and my colleagues, I offer my condolences on martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, peace be upon him, and demise anniversary of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny.
Rasulullah, Habiballah. Rasulullah, Habiballah.
Allah, our God, is the greatest, the one and only glory to him. He born many humans to be the best and give his best religion to them.
Recommendations of the Prophet. While he was confined to bed, the Prophet attached great importance to reminding the people of the obligatory matters, and in the last days of his illness, he strongly recommended the offering of prayers. One day, Ka'b Ahbar asked the second caliph, "What did the Prophet say just before his death?" The caliph pointed to the commander of the faithful, who was also present in the meeting, and said, "Ask him." Ali said, "While the head of the Prophet was resting on my shoulder, he said, 'Prayers, prayers.'" Ka'b Ahbar then said, "This has been the way of the previous prophets also. During the last moments of his life, the Prophet opened his eyes and said, 'Call my brother so that he may come and sit by my side.' All those present understood that he meant no one other than Ali. Ali sat by the side of his bed but felt that he wanted to rise from his bed. He therefore lifted the Prophet from his bed and made him rest on his own chest."
Mustafa, Mustafa, Mustafa.
We have many statements from non-Muslims about the significance of the Prophet in human history. We find, for example, that Mahatma Gandhi, he said of the Prophet, "I became more than ever convinced that it was not the sword that won a place for Islam in those days in the scheme of life. It was the rigid simplicity, the utter effacement of the Prophet, the scrupulous regard for pledges, his intense devotion to his friends and followers, his intrepidity, his fearlessness, his absolute trust in God and in his own mission. These, and not the sword, carried everything before them and surmounted every obstacle." So here you see that Mahatma Gandhi acknowledges that the Prophet's success is largely because of his message and his teachings and his spiritual instructions, his magnanimous character that allowed him to spread his message. And it was not the use of military force. Now, of course, after the death of the Prophet, the Islamic Empire expanded because of military campaigns. But what allowed Islam as a religion, as an ideology, to flourish and to spread far and wide was the magnetic personality of the Prophet himself. And you see, and finally, just one last statement about the Prophet from a non-Muslim perspective is Edward Gibbon, the famous British historian, who wrote that the greatest success of Muhammad's life was affected by sheer moral force without the stroke of a sword.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special on this sad occasion of the demise anniversary of the last Prophet of Allah, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, and martyrdom anniversary of his grandson, Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba, peace be upon him. Till another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
Mustafa, anta al-Nabi al-Amin, wa Sayyid al-Mursaleen, rahmatan lil-alamin. جئت بالحق اليقين أنت النبي الأمين وسيد المرسلين رحمة للعالمين جئت بالحق اليقين
Food for thought. Salam and condolences on the passing away of Prophet Muhammad. Blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Here is a wise saying from him. A true believer does not taunt, damn, slander, and abuse people.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. First and foremost, we'd like to send our condolences to the Imam of the time, Imam al-Sahib al-Asri wa-Zaman, and this being the day of the demise and the martyrdom of Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam, as well as the demise of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the absolute light. An individual who brought brightness to an earth that was full of darkness. And we ask the Imam alayhi salam, that is Imam al-Zaman, to read a Fatiha for us at the grave of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in the city of Medina. And when we were especially at the grave of Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam in the lonely cemetery of Baqi, the Imam being there with all the other Imams that have been left without a mausoleum, without a shrine, without a dhari. Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to visit the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Imams, especially Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam that are buried in Baqi, in the very near future, inshallah, in peace, in harmony, with no worry that someone will come and tell us not to recite a particular ziyarah or not to recite a particular dua at this particular place, inshallah. So the hadith that we would like to share with our dear listeners today is from Imam Hassan alayhi salam. It's a very beautiful tradition. The Imam alayhi salam says, or is reported to have said, that the most tranquil of hearts, or that heart that is no worry, has no stress, is not concerned. It is a heart that is at peace. It is a heart that is at ease. So the most tranquil of hearts is the one that is cleansed from doubts, from all doubts. And this is important because the hadith is all doubts. Right? So doubts regarding what? Aqaid, which one? Doubts concerning his wealth, his family, the food that he eats, all that, everything he does, why? In order for that not to occur, for him not to have doubts, he had to have done everything in a particular manner. He had to have researched about his beliefs. His earnings had to be done in a particular way. He had to have given the rights that were due on him, in on his finances, and so on and so forth. So therefore he has no doubts. Why? Because he knows that he has done his duty, and he knows that because of that duty being done, whatever is in front of him, there's no doubt about it. And he's at ease and at tranquil. She is at ease and tranquil because he or her has done the duty that has been placed upon them in order for no doubts to come about. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and by Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam that our hearts are cleansed of all doubts regarding all things. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
Iqra بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانا يا من ينجينا إحسانا ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you for having me. And Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of Let's Recite the Quran. I'm glad to be with you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for accepting our invitation, actually. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of several Quranic parts, which are going to be presented to you. So, dear audience, stay tuned.
Inna
Well, today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Mahmoud Ramadan. Mahmoud Ramadan was the follower of the style of Sheikh Ali Mahmoud, who also used maqam chord very much in his recitations. Mahmoud Ramadan has a complete voice, that is, his voice had all three registers, known as qarar, the lowest register, jawab, the intermediate register, and jawabul jawab, meaning the highest register. However, Mahmoud Ramadan used mostly the intermediate register of his voice in most of his recitations. Mahmoud Ramadan was a master of not only maqam chord, as some might think, but also he was very skilled in using other maqams, such as Nahawand, Ajam, Jiharka, Hijaz, and Saba. His voice was powerful and full of sorrow. Mahmoud Ramadan was also a close friend of Sheikh Muhammad Imran, who would go to his house for recitation of Quran. Now it's time to listen to the recitation of Sheikh Mahmoud Ramadan reciting verse 35 of Surah An-Nur, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. The similitude of His light is as a niche wherein is a lamp. The lamp is in a glass. The glass is, as it were, a shining star. This lamp is kindled from a blessed tree, an olive neither of the east nor of the west, whose oil would almost glow forth of itself, though no fire touched it. Light upon light, Allah guideth unto His light whom He will, and Allah speaketh to mankind in allegories, for Allah is knower of all things.
Allahu bi kulli
Dear brothers and sisters, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And what you just listened to was recitation of verse 35 of Surah An-Nur, recited by Sheikh Mahmoud Ramadan. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This was indeed a very beautiful recitation by Sheikh Mahmoud Ramadan. And let's first talk about the maqamat that he used, and then we'll go over the tajweed. The maqamat, he used three maqams: Bayati, then Athar Kurd, actually four maqams. Bayati, Athar Kurd, which is similar to Kurd, and Kurd, that was the third maqam, and finally maqam Hijaz, which was most of this verse was in maqam Hijaz. Okay, two-thirds of this recitation was in Maqam Hijaz. Yeah. Just like you said at the beginning of this program, Sheikh Mahmoud Ramadan is not only a reciter who used Maqam Kurd a lot in his recitation. He was also a master of other Maqams, such as Hijaz, such as Saba, such as Ajam,
Jaharka,
and so on and so forth. And his tajweed is also very good, just like most famous reciters of the Quran. The first thing I'd like to mention is the first word, which is the majestic name of Allah in this verse. Allahu. The Hamza, the Hamzatul Wasl, which has to be pronounced because it's at the beginning of the utterance.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be pronounced with tarqiq. This is important because there is a letter of tawliyu right after it.
That is lam of the majestic name of Allah.
Yes, the lam of the name of Allah. If you say Allahu, Allahu, is that correct?
No.
It's not it's eh. Mm-hmm. Not ah. With the mouth should not be too much open. Mm-hmm. Okay? Allahu.
Allahu.
Okay? Just like the way Sheikh Mahmoud Ramadan pronounced the Hamzatul Wasl.
Just the lam has taqlib, not the letter before it. That is this Hamza.
Yes, that's right. In the phrase, كَمِشْكَاتٍ فِيهَا, we have ikhfa of Nun Sakina. Because we have a tanween followed by one of the letters of ikhfa.
That is fa.
Which is fa. And we said that ikhfa is that you have to approximate the place of articulation of fa or any letter of ikhfa that's after nun sakina or tanween. And at the same time, you make a nasal sound for two vowel counts. Approximation means that because, you know, pronouncing any letter has three stages.
Sure.
The first stage is, what is the first stage? The inclination stage. The articulators want to get close to the place of articulation of a letter. The second stage is whenever they come into contact, where you hold the articulator in the place of articulation of that letter. And finally, the third stage is releasing the articulator from its place of articulation.
Mm-hmm.
We want ikhfa to be at the first stage of pronouncing that letter, which is the inclination stage.
Just before pronouncing.
Just before pronouncing that letter.
Just and before touching to, that,
yes,
to say.
We want to hold the articulator in that position for two vowel counts.
While nasal, making a nasal
while
sound.
Making a nasal sound. كَمِشْكَاتٍ فِيهَا. Because it's like you could predict that there's going to be a fa after the tanween.
Mm-hmm.
مِصْبَاح. We have a sod with a sukun. We have the second lowest level of tafkhim. Tafkhim means pronouncing a letter thickly. That's for example, the letters of isti'la, all of them are pronounced thickly, no matter what their vowel, what vowel they have.
Could you name them?
We have Sad, Lad, Ta, Wa, Ghain, and Qaf.
Okay.
So let's go over them again. Sad, Lad, Ta, Wa, Ghain,
and Qaf.
Kha and Qaf. Seven letters. We forgot to mention Kha.
Mm-hmm.
We have seven letters of Istila. And the second lowest level means that the letter of istila has to be pronounced with a neutral position of the lips, of the mouth. Mis, mis, bah. You don't say mis. You don't round the lips.
Mm-hmm.
You don't drop the lips. Mis. If you do that, that's also incorrect.
Mis should bah. Be neutral.
Yes. The way that he pronounced, Sheikh Mahmoud Ramadan pronounced as zujajah.
المصباح ونلمصباح. I think
this is iltiqa al-sakinain. This means that two sakin letters are juxtaposed, and it's impossible to pronounce two sakin letters right next to each other. So in order that you're able to pronounce at least one of them, you have to give the kasra to the first one, and of course the second one is sakin, remains sakin. Al-misbah. فيها مصباحون. We have a noon sakina, then we have a lam sakina after misbah. So it's a sakina letter again. So you have to give a kasra
to the noon of tanween.
To the noon of tanween. مصباحونيل مصباح.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad. Dear audience, that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Until next program, God bless you all. Have a nice time and goodbye. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق والقرآن When your horse returns to Alcamp Riderless أزور سيدي ومولاي ومعتمدي ورجاي
The ocean of dua الإمام الحسين عليه السلام زيارة
Why did you leave us to fend for ourselves? Hussein, Hussein, the slain.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Madarisi, and in this edition of The Ocean of Dua, we are trying to discuss and talk about the different aspects of Ziyarat Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Ziyarat al-Ashura. So stay with us.
Bari'tu ila Allah wa ilaykum minhum wa min ashya'ihim wa atba'ihim wa awliya'ihim ya Aba Abdullah inni
حلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم إلى يوم القيامة.
Brothers and sisters, we were talking about this part of the ziyarah. إني سلم لمن سالمكم. Surely I am at peace with those who are at peace with you. وحرب لمن حاربكم. And I am at war with those who are at war with you. إلى يوم القيامة. Till the day of resurrection. We sufficiently discussed the literal meanings of the word سلم and حرب, their meanings and their connotations, and why the word حرب, for example, is used instead of the word حارب. But in order to further understand the truth of friendship and enmity, let us consider some of the traditions of the Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, quoted in Nahj al-Balagha. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, أَصْدِقَاءُكَ ثَلَاثَةٌ وَأَعْدَاءُكَ ثَلَاثَةٌ. Your friends are three and your enemies are three. فَأَصْدِقَاءُكَ صَدِيقُكَ وَصَدِيقُ صَدِيقِكَ وَعَدُوُ عَدُوِّكَ. Your friends are your friend, your friend's friend, and your enemy's enemy. وَأَعْدَاءُكَ عَدُوُّكَ وَعَدُوُّ صَدِيقِكَ وَصَدِيقُ عَدُوِّكَ. And your enemies are your enemy, the enemy of your friend, and the friend of your enemy. Analyzing the matter of friendship, we find that our friend is naturally our friend. However, the reason why his friend is also our friend is because the basis of friendship in both cases is love for God. Our friend's friend befriends our friend due to love for Allah and His servants, and hence he likewise is our friend. With regard to the enemy of our enemy, because our enemy dislikes God and His servants, even in the practical tense, his enemy would have the opposite character, love for God and His servants. Therefore, he likewise is our friend. Now, with regard to the enemies that Imam alayhi salam mentions, we know that our enemy is obviously our enemy. However, one who befriends our enemy has the same qualities that our enemy has, love for Satan and his servants, maybe. So, we naturally hate him as well. He is, too, our enemy. Then, the enemy of our friend, likewise, is our enemy, because our friend is the one who loves Allah. Our friend is the one who loves his servant. So, the one who hates such a person is his enemy. He loves the opposite, love for Satan and his servants. So, such a person cannot be our friend, and he is naturally our enemy.
When people ask, I'm confused about which school is right or which madhab is right, go to Karbala. Look at Karbala, it clarifies it instantaneously. Anybody says, I'm confused, say, please go to Karbala and tell me what happened, why it happened, and what does it have to do with your religion. You will see it completely exemplifies. It clarifies, it takes all the blurs out instantaneously. SubhanAllah, that's the miracle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's main foundation of morality is do not allow tyranny, do not allow evil doing, do not allow indecency. Why is Imam like this? Because he knows Allah, he appreciates Him, he understands His dimensions. That's why we must love them so much. We must love them so much that don't let anybody else take us away from them. There should be no room in our thoughts. No matter who we admire in this world, no matter how great a person we look at, never move the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt out of the center of the heart. Never. They will know that their Khalifa lied to them because he told them they don't pray. And if they see them praying on the battlefield, their hearts will change. So stop them from praying. Imagine how evil these people were.
That's how much lies they had. And you cannot eradicate this lie at the level that we're talking about unless you give your blood for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
If the basis of friendship and enmity are different, this equation cannot come to be true. So, we should find a unified basis for friendship and enmity, and then try to understand the equation provided by Imam Ali alayhi salam. In our case, what is important and the fundamental criterion is truth, love for Allah, religiousness, etc. This is because we have taken the human dimensions into consideration. Amir al-Mu'mineen is reported to have said, "As-sadiqu man kana nahiyan 'ani adh-dhulmi wal-'udwan." A friend is the one who prohibits wrongdoing and transgression. "Mu'inan 'ala al-birri wal-ihsan." And the one who assists others in actions of virtue and good. So by putting these traditions close to each other, we will understand what Imam alayhi salam intended better. When Imam Zayn al-Abidin alayhi salam says, "La yuhibbuna kafirun wa la yubghiduna mu'min," a kafir does not love us and a mu'min does not hate us, we understand that those who claim to love both Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Yazid are either oblivious of the reality or they're joking. History has informed us of such examples. For example, when a man said to Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, "Surely I love you and I love Muawiyah," Imam alayhi salam told him, "Amma al-an fa anta a'war, fa imma an tabra'a aw ta'ma." For the moment, one of your eyes cannot see. Now either you get well or blind. This is what history, what the traditions of the infallible Imams, and what the lifestyle is telling us. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Anta alladhi sana'ta min ar-rumhi min bara ظمآن والزمان بعينيك ممطرا نعم الأمير أنت حسين وقدوتي ساروا إليك قلبي وعقلي ودمعتي يا محيي الكرامة تبكيك كل عين لبيك يا إمامي لبيك يا حسين
الروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان
احترام میگذاره همه این ارزش ها در علی ابن ابی طالب جمعه.
Human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
Imam Ali عليه السلام, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
Universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time.
قال علي عليه السلام لا تسأل عما لا يكون ففي الذي قد كان لك شغل.
Imam Ali said, "Do not ask about things which may not happen, because you have enough to worry about with what happens." Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the program's To My Brother, and we were discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali, the son of Abu Talib, alayhi salam. So, dear friends, we find in the historical texts of the Muslims both